Yeah, kids, you're listening to Finn's Revolution right here on WUSB in Stony Brook. And tonight we have a very special show. First, we have up Lily Lewis, activist, New Orleans, and a great singer-songwriter. Some beautiful, beautiful stuff. And a little later on, legendary Black Flag bassist Kira Rossler talks her new solo record. Stay tuned. This is the opening track from Lily Lewis's new record, Americana, right here on WUSB, Stony Brook.
My American heart, my American heart, my American heart is alive with the fire in the promise of tomorrow. I'll speak my story. I'll sing my song. My American heart is alive with the fire in the promise of tomorrow.
Why do we quit and slow down?
Yeah, from the brand new record Americana, right here on WUSB. Stony Brook, that's Lily Lewis, and that was Copper John, and the number before that, Americana, Heart, My American Heart, quite beautiful, as well as the prelude piece and the vocal arrangements, everything just gorgeous, the production gorgeous. And we're going to be lucky enough in just a few moments to talk to singer-songwriter, activist, and brilliant vocalist, Miss Lily Lewis, and right after this tune here. This is Wrecking Ball from Lily Lewis's new record, Americana, right here, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Everything with a wrecking ball, everything with a wrecking ball, everything.
Yeah, it's the brand new record from Lily Lewis right there. And Wrecking Ball is the name of that cut. And, you know, one of Lily's credos, kind of nicknames here is folk rock diva, but I think that's pretty much a funk rock diva right there. So we're lucky enough to have, so I think Lily's incorrect. So we're lucky enough to have Lily Lewis with us right now. And Lily, I just want to say, first off, what a gorgeous record, and welcome to Finn's Revolution.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to talk to you today, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate those good words, man.
Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing record, and you've been doing this for a little bit, and this record is a culmination of some stuff, and let's go back in history here, because this stuff, I don't know, it's your first time on this program, so I'm sure this stuff our audience doesn't know. Tell us a little about your musical upbringing and what brought you to where you are.
Well, I was mostly trained as a classical musician. I was totally obsessed with, classical piano. I started lessons when I was about five, but that was after 2 years of waiting for a teacher. So, I've been composing since long before I knew what notes looked like. It's just been a long journey. Like, I think my kind of career as a singer-songwriter came by way of grieving, really. My father passed away when I was still an undergrad, and I weirdly just started writing small thoughts in a small notebook that turned into songs. And then I, kind of followed that up into New England, where there was a really thriving community of women singer-songwriters, and this was in the early 2000s. And just kind of launched from there, just one foot in front of the other.
Okay, so it's a very emotional path for you.
Oh, absolutely. No, if I hadn't needed to kind of dig deep into my grief, I'd still be singing arias. I'd probably be still singing Mozart. I wouldn't have looked back.
Well, I don't think that's bad either, but that's all.
No, it's not bad at all. My love for that music is just as deep as ever. Just I had other things to say.
That's right. That's right. The music is, I just want to say the music is so rich. I've been listening to this kind of on repeat constantly here. And it's just a very rich sound, a very rich collection of material. So the songs are all, did they come from lyrics first? Do you get a groove first? How do you do it?
Well, it's kind of all over the place. All the songs are, kind of have their own life to them. I know that usually, I think most of the material on this record comes from me trying to reconcile stuff that I just, couldn't get my head around. So sometimes it's like it's a meditation, like me asking myself, how is this even possible that kids in cages is happening? Or how is it possible that this story hasn't been told? And a melody might fall in. But for the most part, I get this kind of weird headache on the right side of my head. And that's what kind of alerts me to like, oh, a song wants to come through. And I kind of look up and get the transmission and then do my best not to mess it up on the way in or on the way out.
Some people would take a Tylenol. You read a song. That's great.
I write a song, to each his own.
That's right. they're very, very rich songs, and of course we're going to be discussing some politics too, because every song on this touches a political angle in some way or another, and I don't mean necessarily like a lecturing angle. It's a broad picture kind of a thing, and really, really nice. But let's talk about how this record came together. You're involved in this, co-producing it with our buddy Mr. Mark Bingham, who's crazy. And how did that happen?
Well, okay, let's see. Bingham, that's big giant name in my world these days. I'd say maybe in the fall, maybe in 2016, my bass player from a band, the Lily Lewis Project, had a house out in Lafayette that Bingham had set up a studio in. And my bass player was like, hey, Bingham's out there. He's kind of a big deal. I'm like, I know he's a big deal. And he's like, he might do a record for you. And I was just like, well, I don't want to bother him. And that went on for over a year. And then finally, one day I was depressed and desperate. and I just needed, you know, I needed some connection. So I asked him a bit, you think Bingham would still be on board? This is Jimbo Walsh, by the way.
Okay.
And he's like, well, yeah, well, when should we do that? Like, how about next week? Okay. So I go out to the house, the studio, and it was a post-Katrina home. They bought that home to kind of provide refuge for some folks who had been displaced by Katrina. Right. And Bingham just ended up, you know, staying out there. I got out there, and I thought I was going to lay down some demos for a full band record. And so it was just me and piano laying down demos, trying to figure out what narrative we liked the best. And Bingham, instead of just pushing buttons, was like, nah, man, you need to release this and, you know, mix it for me. And that was our first, you know, venture together. It was a couple of days. And honestly, in the first session, I just, about maybe 3 or 4 hours into the session, I just broke out into tears because I've never had, you know, that kind of presence and kindness, like holding my music in that way, you know. Mm-hmm. And I could tell from the beginning he was trying to help facilitate, you know, bringing out my authentic voice and not, you know, requiring that I be any different than I was. It was so moving. I know to him it looked like, you know, what do they call that? I'm forgetting. You know, imposter syndrome, right? I know that it looked like imposter syndrome, but really I was just moved by his presence and his kindness and the fact that he can cook like a mother. I don't know if everybody knows that about Bingham, but... And so that was our first project. It was called the Henderson Sessions. And then as a follow-up, we actually did do a full band record called We Belong the following year. And when the pandemic started, I would say about 3 or 4 months into the pandemic, a couple of these songs kind of came through. And then literally 1 week after My American Heart, you know, the album's finale came through, George Floyd was murdered. And shortly thereafter, I called Bingham and said, you know, I think I have to do another record. I'm calling you first because you're my production big daddy at this point. But I know it's 3 records in less than 3 years, so if you're tired of me, just let me know. But otherwise, I'd love to do this record with you because, again, I was looking for that patience and that, like, that respect, you know, that he had shown me all along. And he said, let's do it. And it took us about a year to do it between the pandemic and the hurricanes.
Right. It was crazy. It was particularly crazy down there. So,
yeah. So he just brought, you know, it's like, you know, he's such an amazing mind and he has the ability to make a bajillion good decisions, one after the other on like an infinite number of songs. I just, you know, his stamina in that way, his creative stamina is really impressive. But what I found interesting about this process, because I've done other work with him since we met, but what I found interesting in this process is he felt it necessary to try to remove anything that felt extra. Like he refused to overproduce anything, you know. It's like, mm-hmm. And it goes back to what he said on our first record together, because, you know, that my first record with him was just voice and piano, and I felt so naked and exposed. And right away, he was just like, nope, there's nothing to hide here. And that, I think, was his approach to this one as well. I'm really thankful it exists. I'm really thankful that, you know, that he gave me a voice, you know, in it as well. It was a really powerful process bringing it into the world.
Yeah, I think that when he hears something, and he's got a history of this, when he hears something that's magical to him, he latches onto it. And clearly that's how you struck him, which is an amazing thing right there. So it's very clear, you know.
It's an amazing thing. It's also an amazing thing to work with someone, anyone, not just Bingham, but someone who, after decades in the business, still understands what magic feels like.
Right.
You know?
I think magic is the good word, too, because I think that's what's definitely captured here very much.
Thank you.
It really is. And let's talk about some of the, because you have some musicians, I think, that you normally haven't worked with in the past in anything, right? Did Mark bring some people in on this, or...
He did.
Okay. Talk about the musicians on the record, yeah.
Well, we had, my standard ensemble, a fraction of my standard ensemble from the Lily Lewis Project is there. LLT is more a jazz and soul situation, although they'll play anything I throw at them. So unfortunately, my sax player and my percussionist didn't make this record, but two of my normal bass players and my drummer, who also plays a lot of guitar, sings some backup, they're all on the record. So that's Jimbo Walsh, Kenny Murphy, and Wade Hemel. They're all on the record. And then I've got a number of singers that I brought to the table. Mark left the singers to me. One of which is this remarkable artist who's now based in Nashville, Kishana Armstrong, who goes generally just by Kishana. She's been doing a lot of work with Adia Victoria lately and has a really powerful practice of helping bring, like, she's built a business around helping other people bring their narratives, their trauma stories, like all of that into song, which really is extraordinary. She's, coming from a music therapy background, but is one of the most commanding performers I've come in contact with in the last decade. And then, Michaela Brown, who's another incredibly gifted singer-songwriter, kind of the Carole King, tradition, but just a remarkable vocalist who can kind of do anything. So those two helped me open the album with this, like, My American Heart prelude. And then I brought a bunch of other singers to the table for another a cappella track I've got on there called A Healing Inside, which features another of Black women singers who I met in a support group. Like a pandemic, just giant names like Patty Andrus from, Tech and Patty, and just like these remarkable women that I had looked up to for a while. I didn't know they were in the group when I was invited to join it. And I get on the Zoom call and hear all these incredibly radiant, potent faces, praying together, crying together, just trying to provide support for one another. And on that call also, the first call was the real Lady A, the Seattle blues singer who's in a, battle for her name Nashville country group. She is such a remarkable person. Like, she was able to hold everybody's pain. She's the best prayer warrior you'll ever, and so to meet her and get a sense of her spirit, in the context of what I had been reading about for over a year at that point, was pretty profound. And when I asked the group if they wanted to participate in this particular song, because it spoke to so much of what we were talking about every week, she was the first one to send me tracks. And I feel like she's got this low, commanding voice doing lead ad-lib part from the end of that tune. That really, on the bottom end of that tune, that really just made the song and its purpose come to life for me. So for me, that's the heart of the whole record. So shout out to Lady A.
That's how cool is this? This is great. Go ahead.
So those are who I brought to the table. And so we've got some kind of local heroes that Mark works with a lot. And they filled in parts here and there. Oh, I'm trying to think. Oh, I forgot about Gina Forsythe. She's the other musician I brought to the table. She plays fiddle, guitar, and sings on the record. And she's my local songwriting hero. Like, she's my favorite performer to see play in town. So having her on the record was just, a huge thrill for me. I felt like, across the board, I was dealing with the dream team, let me see, who have I left out? Is there anybody you specifically want me to talk about?
I was going to talk about Gina Forsythe myself, but you just did.
There you go.
She does a bunch of beautiful tracks. Plus, she's on The Closer, right? The American Heart Closer.
That's right.
But, that's right. Yeah, and it's beautifully bookended. Let's talk a little bit about, Because you're dealing with some heavy stuff in these songs, different things, mm-hmm. but you are dealing with them in a very everything has a positive glow to it, even when you're talking about some darker things. Is this what would you say this is? Would you say this is an optimism, a spiritualism? What would you call this thing that helps you? Helps you and helps all of us overcome these obstacles in the world.
You know, I think in earlier years, I was embarrassed about the fact that anytime I was grappling with something difficult in the context of a song, I always had to somehow find a resolution point. You know, I couldn't just leave it in the darkness. I always had to find some kind of redemption, you know, in working with the material. Now, that's natural, since I write songs primarily to answer my own existential questions, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's natural to, like, you know, grasp for an answer, and it's nice when that answer has a melody put to it, right? But I feel like in these times, and maybe I'd pick this up from Gina. I mean, honestly, Gina was the first one I called musician-wise for this project, and it's 'cause I feel like she does the same. She can work with difficult material and somehow put a light around it that just makes it land deeper in my blood, but also makes me feel hopeful and thankful for this human experience, right? Mm. So I absolutely knew I wanted that kind of blessing on the record. And I think that in this time, you know, like, I got the folk rock diva moniker when I was in a rock band that was kind of like, we were edgy and angsty and just like confrontational, and we had no problem vomiting all over the stage with our, you know, our righteous, you know, indignation. But I've realized in recent years, everybody is spun out. You know, our nervous systems are spun out, and like, one of the most kind of confrontational things I can say right now is, yes, this is hard. What we're experiencing right now is really hard, and we have to keep going. And then, like, you know, kind of trying to bring in a reason to keep going, you know. So my heart, like, landed heavy on, like, the humanity of it all, like that we're all so vulnerable and so, like, super charged with angst and distrust and mistrust and, like, not being able to take deep breaths anymore. Like, I mean, the last 2 years, even our ability to breathe has been, you know, under threat, you know, in a profound way. And we're watching people lose their lives, and we're watching people, you know, argue and really come to heads over our mutual responsibility for each other's well-being, you know. And I feel like right now is not a bad time to find resolution or to seek resolution or to seek what light looks like at the end of this dark road, you know. So I think that comes straight from a hardcore, tender love for everybody and all that we're enduring, whether it's pandemic time or otherwise. You know, life is hard. But, you know, I've learned not to give up, and I've learned that gentleness is what allows me to keep going. And so I'm willing to spend, you know, some of my bandwidth sharing that with people.
We're talking to Lily Lewis, whose brand new record, Americana, is just dropping, and a beautiful, gorgeous record. We're going to hear some more of it at the end of this interview. And, of course, you guys can, of course, as always, hear the podcast at Finn's Revolution podcast. Just search that out on Google tomorrow evening. But, yeah, that's what this album has, Lily. It definitely has this I think you said glow earlier, it's definitely got that thing. You're talking about some dark subjects, about some difficult times, but it's the humanity that comes through on this. And that's quite, you know, that's hard to do. It's very easy, as you were saying earlier, in your youth, it was great to get up and rant and rave. And we can all see what's wrong, you know? But
right.
Right. But to find some hope in it all is a task. And I think you've made a huge step with this record, helping us find hope. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm. Yeah. You know, it's music to my heart, right?
Yeah, right.
Thank you for saying that.
Obviously, you're still limited with things like live promotion and things like that currently. But is there a plan to go out on the road with this material?
Yeah, actually, we're going to do a Wood Songs recording in November, and we'll, you know, hit up Nashville and play Vinyl Tap just while we're out on the road. We're going to do a little bit more recording at Sun Studios. We're going to do a couple of covers over there. And get that out by the end of the year. And then, you know, we're looking to get on the road. We're in talks right now with agencies to, you know, take full advantage of 2022. I think that there's some pockets that are opening now, and I'm hopeful that by the spring things will loosen a bit and we'll be able to get around with this music. But we do intend to, you know, try to augment the signal on it as best as we can. And so whether I'll be doing some solo shows, but also I'll be on the road with my trio, try to just kind of sprinkle our version of like hope and fervor. You know, I love being in the musicians fraternity, because so much of like the troubadour work is to, you know, to spread like a reason to keep on going. So we're going to put out our version of that. Yes.
That's beautiful. Okay. Yeah. And when you get up to New York, obviously that's when I really want to know that information. So
that's good to know. We're heading to New England first. So that'll work out.
That's close.
Close enough.
It's close. It's the record itself is a beautiful thing. How can people get their hands on it right now? Or is it out officially?
Well, right now, it'll be out officially on October 29th. They can pre-order it on Bandcamp right now. The pre-orders are active, and we just got the records in, so we're ready to fill orders. And that address is folkrockdiva.bandcamp.com. Not Funk Rock Diva, although the Funk Rock Diva was born when I moved to New Orleans, but we're sticking with the original. Folkrockdiva.bandcamp.com. People can go ahead and pre-order there, but it'll be in stores and available digitally October 29th.
And people can also, of course, go to your regular website beside your Bandcamp and get links to all that, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Right.
LilyLewis.com.
Right.
Now, let me tell you, the reason I started calling myself Folk Rock Diva is because my mama spells my name funny. She spells it L-I-L-L-I, and nobody else, maybe the Germans. The Germans do spell it that way. But nobody on this side of the ocean spells it that way.
Okay.
And so nobody could find me when they went looking for me. So you can also find me at folkrockdiva.com.
Anyway, as everyone knows, I always recommend that we purchase the album through the artist's website, their Bandcamp, whenever they possibly can. It just gives a little more scratch in the artist's pocket, which is always a nice thing.
Thank you so much for that.
Anytime we eliminate the middleman. But whatever's good with you guys out there, when it's available, you can certainly do that. But it's nice to get the pre-order. And you have, from what I understand, some nice CD packaging, too, with this, yeah?
We do. Actually, with this particular record, actually the last three, all three that I've done with Bingham, the artist on the album, Art, is named Nani Odlockin, who's really just this phenomenal collage mixed media artist. She kind of integrates local local symbolism with her own kind of mythology, and every project she's done for me, she's just kind of hit the nail on the head. And so this little triptych all features Nani Odlockin's work. And this particular package comes with all the lyrics and, you know, just kind of wanting to provide, even if it's microscopic. Unfortunately, this album is too long to be on vinyl. So we're going to have to, all of the lyrics are also available at Bandcamp, because I just, you know, as you said a lot, like, these songs are narratives that, you know, kind of reflect what a lot of us are going through. So we definitely wanted to have the lyrics available. But yeah, the artwork has been really special to me. Have you seen the album art for the current, for this record?
I have. I just saw the album art actually today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think, you know, I'll describe it to the audience, and that might give your audience, that might give them a sense of what the record's about. It's, we've got an eagle holding roses in their bud form, standing behind a bunch of roses made of the American flag, and perched upon the Edmund Pettus Bridge, under which are roses that look like they're behind bars. I would say that again so that people might be able to grasp what that might be saying, but I'm not going to waste your airtime saying it again. They'll just have to check it out.
So just go to the Bandcamp. You guys will see the link on the website, on our playlist, on the Finns Revolution playlist at WUSB.FM. What would you like to hear going out, Lily? We've heard the first three.
Oh, you've heard the first three. Okay. Well, since this talk has been so much about hope and good wishes, we might need to just end with the closer.
Sounds like an excellent, excellent idea. And I want to say it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Lily. And you guys absolutely have to check out Lily Lewis's new record, Americana. And it's beautiful. Hit the Bandcamp. Whatever you can do, do the pre-order so you get it. It's a beautiful, strong, amazingly strong record. And I wish you the best of luck with it, Lily.
Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough.
Great to talk to you. And we're going to go out right now with the closer, My American Heart, from Americana. And we'll see you guys on the flip side. Just remember, tomorrow night you can hear this all on the podcast, and it'll be up there forever. And I'll send you that link too, Lily, okay?
Excellent. Perfect.
Thanks so
Lily. Much.
Great to talk to you.
Okay. Talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.
My American heart, won't you, baby, to be born healthy? Won't you, son, to make it home from the war, fully able to rejoin his people? My American heart, won't you, job, to help you feed your family? Hopes it'll let you build a home that houses generations of joy. My American heart knows you're more than just an able body. Hopes if your able body ever falters, your wellness won't have much in the way. I hope your children and grandchildren become curious and kind. But above all, I wish them safety from without and within. My American heart wishes safety for my own family too. Don't want to have to keep them safe from you, but nevertheless, here we are in a difficult conversation. One that just might go on for years, but in this difficult conversation, I want you to know I can hear you, know I can see you, see you, know I still pray for you. conversation, one that just might go on for years. But in this difficult conversation, I want you to know I can hear you. Know I can see you. See, know I still pray for you.
Happy birthday to Mr. Peter McIntosh right there on WUSB Stony Brook, and this is relatively new now from Mr. Bob Dylan.
They say the wife got the husband drunk, but I don't know, I wasn't there. I was visiting a friend in jail. They sang Danny Boy at the funeral and Lord's Prayer, preacher talk about Christ's betrayal. It's like the earth just opened and swallowed him up. Then he reached too high and tumbled back to the ground.
to the right people on the way up. Sooner or later you're gonna meet them coming down. Well, ain't no going back, ain't no going back. When the foot of pride come down, ain't no going back. He had a brother named Paul. You can find him at the Cafe Royale, where Miss Trixie plays and the reviews are mixed. He's on the borderline, says revenge is mine, but it drinks and drinks can be fixed. Sing me one more song about whiskey heaven and your old cold-blooded love affair with Errol Flynn. In these times of compassion, where conformity is in fashion, say one more stupid thing to me before the final nail's driven in. The slave trade bloom at the Morning Star Ballroom, where a tired businessman named Red infects everyone he touched. He gives money to the church, foundations for research. He's not somebody you can play around with much. There's Miss Rosetta Black, if you're on the deep side of the track. She's rough to look at, but she's to feed your coconut bread, spice buns in bed, and forget everything you said. You won't have to worry about sleeping with your face in the bed. Tell you some secret things you think may open some doors. How to enter in the bloody gates of paradise, no. How to go crazy from a carrying a burden that's never meant to be yours. From them stage, some sucker will be doing the bumps and the grinds. A whore will pass the head, collect $100,000 and say thanks. They like to take all this money from sin, build big prisons to do experiments in. Amazing Grace, all the way to the Swiss bank. Yeah, there ain't no going back, ain't no going back. When that foot of pride come down, ain't no going back. They got some serious people in the invisible world. They can ring your bell and show you how to hone your tongue. They don't come to party, man. They kill babies in the crib and say only the good die young. They don't believe in mercy. Judgment on them is something you'll never see. Turn you into the devil's daughter, or lead you straight into the valley of slaughter, and you'll still be thinking that you're the same person you used to be. Yeah, but there ain't no going back. When that foot of pride come down, ain't no going back. Yes, I love him too. I can still see him in my mind, climbing up that hill. Hope he made it to the top, but he probably didn't and had to stop. That have left their mark in space. From now on, this'll be where you're from. Let the dead bury the dead, your time will come. Feel that hot iron glowing as you raise the shade. But there ain't no going back, ain't no going back. When that foot of pride come down, ain't no going back. Ain't no going back. We'll be right back.
is crying out for justice. Everyone is crying out for peace, yes. None is crying out for justice. I don't want no peace. I need equal rights and justice. I need equal rights and justice.
Fighting for equal rights and justice.